I hope that you have been blessed as I have been blessed this morning through special song, through our children singing, through our quartet, through our choir. What a joy it is to be in this place to worship God. Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we'll be reading verses 39 through 46. Hear the word of the Lord, Luke 22, 39 through 46. He came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he reached the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. When he got up from prayer, he came to the disciples, and he found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, so that you may not come into a time of trial." The word of God for we, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, calm our hearts and still our minds, that we might hear your word afresh this morning, that your word might speak to us anew, and that in doing so, we might be transformed into the people you call us to be. Implant your word in our hearts and help it to grow and bear much fruit. Allow my words to be your words, O God, and my heart your heart. In Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Flying. Flying is not my favorite activity to do in the world. Now, some of you probably enjoy flying. Some of you may even have careers in flying. But flying is probably the least favorite activity in the world to me. Now, I wouldn't say that I'm terrified of flying. However, every time a plane takes off or it begins to roll on the tarmac, or every time we're in the air and I hit a little bit, or we hit a little bit of turbulence in the air and the plane bumps a little or it moves sideways or so forth, my muscles tense up just a little bit and my stomach begins to turn just a little bit. Now, I understand in my mind that, in fact, flying is safer than driving long distances. But I get more nervous on a plane than I do when I get into my car. I don't know if it is the fact that I'm flying in a metal tube at 500 miles an hour that gets me so nervous, or the fact that I feel a bit insecure because I have nothing in my control in that moment of flight. The only things that are in my control are the light above my head, the ability to ask for the flight attendant, or the airflow above my head. Everything else is completely out of my control. Indeed, I am at the mercy of a variety of circumstances in an airplane. And I think that is really what makes me nervous about being in a plane. I'm at the mercy of the pilot and the co-pilot. Did they get enough sleep the night before? Did they spring forward and are they a little bit tired this morning? The weather. I'm at the mercy of the weather. I am even at the mercy of the flight of geese. The only thing in my control is my little boxed-in area. I have to admit, on occasion when I've been in flight, that I've said a few prayers to God, particularly in those moments when turbulence hits and the plane jumps up or dives down for just a moment, and your stomach rises up, and you think, oh Lord, we're going down. I have to admit, in those moments, I have said a few probably not theologically correct prayers. Lord, if you just get me safely on the ground, I will do whatever you ask. I'll give money to the poor. I'll call so-and-so that I've been neglecting to call for so long. I'll even move to Arkansas. Now, of course, this is not how I ended up in Arkansas. But we have all likely been in those moments of crisis when those foxhole prayers are lifted up to God. When faced with a crisis and we have little control over that circumstance, all the control that we have is just that little box, just the ability to keep our heads low from getting hit by whatever is coming. Tragedy, diagnosis, brokenness. All we have control over is our ability to duck. And we often likely find ourselves bargaining with God. Lord, if you just get me through this financial situation, I will follow you faithfully the rest of my life. Lord, if you help me get this job because I have been jobless for so long, then I will certainly tithe a tenth of my income. Lord, if you heal me of this diagnosis, then you can have my heart. In those desperate, nerve-wracking moments, when we stare at our own mortality and our own deficiency, it is often in those moments that we actually turn to God. In our scripture lesson, there is a storm brewing. Jesus and the disciples have just spent their time at the Last Supper. Some of them don't really even recognize that this is the Last Supper that they will have with Jesus. But a crisis is brewing. In fact, it will not be long before the clouds burst open and the full force of this storm will rain down upon the disciples and upon Jesus. And it is in this moment of impending crisis that Jesus and the disciples travel up to the Mount of Olives for prayer. The Mount of Olives is located on the eastern side of Jerusalem, just across the Kedron Valley, and it is some 2,900 feet tall. If one is to travel up the Mount of Olives, one is able to see the entire cityscape of Jerusalem. Though I've never been to Israel, I remember when my parents lived in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and you could go up Lookout Mountain. You could crawl up the mountain, really drive, I guess. You could drive up the mountain to Lookout Mountain, and there above everything else, you could see the entire city of Chattanooga. In fact, you could see some seven states from Lookout Mountain. And as you looked out over the city, you could see cars moving back and forth, going down Interstate 24, headed toward Nashville or headed toward Alabama. And you could see people walking on the streets downtown, and you could see the towers rising, the buildings and the towers rising in the cityscape. And as you looked out upon the city, no one suspected that you were watching them move about. People lived their lives without knowing that there you sat watching all that was going on. You could stand on top of the mountain and watch people move in the hustle and bustle of life. I imagine Jesus stood upon the Mount of Olives many times, watching Jerusalem in its hustle and in its bustle. He likely saw people darting from one important appointment to the next, going to the temple and coming back, going to their work and coming back, seeing children playing in the streets and laughing and crying. I'm sure he looked over the city and smiled at life being shared as he heard the city alive. Moreover, I imagine that it was on the Mount of Olives that Jesus often was reminded of the mission that he had been sent into the world. Seeing humanity at work, seeing humanity working, playing, living, Jesus knew he had entered into the world on their behalf. And I'm sure often he looked upon the city, thinking why he had come. We can see his love for humanity as he is on the Mount of Olives in Luke chapter 19. Having ridden into the city on the donkey, he goes and he travels to the Mount of Olives. And upon seeing the city, what does he do? He weeps for the city of Jerusalem. Because the city does not see the storm that is getting ready to burst into the world. Yet it seems Jesus' trip to the Mount of Olives in our scripture lesson isn't a trip to travel up at night to see the lights and to peer down at the city sleeping. Rather, indeed, a storm is brewing. A storm is brewing in his own soul as well. Jesus is in the moment of crisis. The time is now upon him in which he must face the true reason of why he has entered into the world. And so Jesus, as was his custom, Luke tells us, goes to that sacred place to meet God. And he prays. And yet this prayer is not some sappy, pious prayer that we often think God really wants to hear. But rather, this prayer is a prayer full of honesty, a prayer searching for strength in the moment of crisis. For Jesus understands that the road will not be easy. And so he goes and he searches for the very presence of God upon the Mount of Olives. Now, at first glance, this prayer looks like a foxhole prayer. We've all heard the term foxhole prayer, right? The phrase, there is no atheist in a foxhole. At first glance, Jesus' prayer seems like a foxhole prayer. It begins with a conditional clause so often heard in those foxhole prayers. Lord, if you get me through this, then I will act. We certainly recognize Jesus' humanity in that moment. Lord, if you are willing, take this cup from me. We recognize the kind of path which is to come. I'm sure if we were all facing the same action that Jesus was getting ready to face, that we would probably pray the same thing. Lord, if you are willing, take this cup from me. And yet, unlike many foxhole prayers, Jesus emphasizes not his desire or his wishes or his faithfulness, but rather he shows his full commitment to God's will. This is indeed not a foxhole prayer, but a prayer for which we must all strive. Lord, if it is your will, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. His prayer is certainly juxtaposed to the disciples' prayer, or lack thereof. Whereas Jesus pours out his heart, he expresses his honesty. The disciples, who are tired from all this talk of Jesus' death, fall asleep from grief. Whereas Jesus, shares his fears, and even Luke emphasizes the point that he prays so fervently that his sweat becomes heavy like drops of blood. The disciples fall asleep because they can't handle the crisis. They can't quite handle the situation or the storm that is brewing. For indeed, Jesus has hinted at his death for them, and the crisis is indeed drawing near, but it seems that the disciples just can't stay awake. But twice, Jesus emphasizes to them the importance of prayer. Did you notice that before and after Jesus goes to pray, Luke includes the same very scripture? Jesus implores the disciples to pray so that they may not come into a time of trial. In other words, Jesus appeals to them for them to pray so that they do not succumb, that they do not give in, that they do not be taken over by the storms of rage and hatred that are about to ensue. In fact, if we search throughout the Gospel of Luke, this is not the first time that Jesus has pleaded with his disciples to simply pray. Just a few days prior, after again having ridden on the donkey into the city and entering so triumphantly, Jesus looks at his disciples in Luke 21, verse 36, and he says to them, "Be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape things that will take place." At least three times in two consecutive chapters, Jesus implores his disciples, pleads with them, pray so that you do not succumb to the evil that is about to take place. So often in our world, we hope that spiritual strength is instantaneous, that we can capture it in just a moment, that we can say those foxhole prayers and all of a sudden we will be strengthened. But Jesus here reminds the disciples over and over again throughout the gospel that spiritual strength is not instantaneous. It does not happen in a moment of desperation, but rather moments of crisis are endured, through years of faithful practice and discernment. Crises are endured by constant and continued spiritual training before one gets to the moment of crisis. While there may be no atheists in foxholes, there is no lasting Christian who neglects the practice of prayer. Jesus' injunction to pray on the Mount of Olives is a part of a much larger tapestry of prayer that is found throughout the entire gospel. You see, what we don't see so often when we read this story as Jesus is on the Mount of Olives praying is that throughout the Gospel of Luke, Luke emphasizes Jesus' prayer life. Jesus was constantly in prayer. He prayed at his baptism. When he went to temptation, he went to pray. He prayed early in his ministry. He prayed when he was transfigured upon the Mount of Olives. He prayed even before teaching on prayer. He was constantly making trips to the Mount of Olives in his last days on earth so that he could pray. In fact, this is probably how Judas knew where Jesus was, because throughout that week, Jesus had been making nightly trips up to the Mount of Olives, according to Luke, to pray. The only way to endure crisis is to create a habit, to lay a strong foundation on which to stand when the storm hits. My wife recently ran her second half marathon. 13.1 miles. That's about what my car gets miles per gallon wise. And I'm happy that my car can go 13.1 miles. I'm not so sure that a human is supposed to go 13.1 miles running. But a couple of weeks before the race, my wife asked me, honey, why don't you get off the couch and come running with me? Not quite sure what she was, I probably am sure what she was telling me. But I decided, sure, I'll get up. I'll start running with you. I used to run in high school, played sports. I can do this. I used to run a pretty quick mile. So we started out. By mile two, I was sucking wind. My wife, though, on the other hand, was moving right along, unfazed. Eventually, I had to drop off and go back to the house and rest my weary legs. But my wife that day ran 10 more miles. For many months, she had faithfully awoke each morning, and she had gone running. Started out 2 miles, then built to 4, then to 6, then to 8, then to 10, then to 12. She endured long runs. She endured those runs when she got up in the morning and she didn't think that she could do it. She endured cold runs when it was freezing outside. She stuck to her habit. And when it came to race day, not only did she endure, but she succeeded. Only by long, disciplined obedience in the same direction was she able to overcome. Only by long, disciplined obedience in the same direction will we overcome when the storms of life hit. Jesus implores us, get up and pray, so that you do not succumb to the time of trial. May our foxhole prayers give way to a life of faithful and ongoing prayer, so that indeed we do not succumb to trial. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.